I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Hey, remember, the month of August, it's almost over, but the month of August is devoted in the Catholic faith to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And let's not forget that the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is officially celebrated on the Saturday following the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in June. So the month of August, I know it's just a few days left, this is a month to reconsecrate yourself and your family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is so pure and so grace-filled that she loves us with a mother's love, and she desires for all of us to be united with her son, Jesus Christ. Terry, I'm reporting for duty, and sir.
Absolutely, Jess. I'm reporting for duty. We got a great show today because we're going to be looking at an open letter to the United States Catholic hierarchy from Father Frank Pavone from the National Director of Priests for Life. And we're going to dissect that. And actually, I think we're going to get a surprise call later in the show from Father Frank when I asked him why he wrote this letter. I think you're going to really be impressed with that. Also, many people ask, what do you guys do after you do your radio show? Well, trust me, Jess and myself, we don't just put our feet up. We're involved in evangelization 24/7. And Jess is going to tell us a little later in the show what he did last night, where he was, lecturing at a Mormon church.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm going to do tonight, what I'm going to do tomorrow. And
all the good things that you're doing. And I'm going to tell you about what happened with me. And because I think what I want you guys to understand is, you know, that we're trying to help people get to heaven. That's our focus. And that's why we get up every morning to do that. Also, Jesse, I do want to remind everybody two things. The debate's coming up on the 12th of September. Father Benedict Rochelle, Scott Hahn, and Father Mitch Pacwa, great lineup of Catholic theologians. And they have three good Protestant theologians. But the beauty of it is it was done in charity and clarity. Oh, plus, Jesse did a special presentation on how apologetics brought him back to the Catholic faith. So if you want to join in on that conference, it's the 12th of September, so it's coming up. You want to go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can even sign up by calling 877-526-2151. But Jesse, all that is going to be coming up and much, much more. But you know what's the most important thing we can be doing right now is our soul food, brother. So if we could ask you to read from today's Mass readings, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, Terry, maybe just 1 minute on apologetics. I'll tell you why the apologetics is so important.
Oh, incredibly
important.
I'll
tell you why. Because a lot of people have an interior conversion back to Christ and the church. But if that interior conversion just stays in the emotions, in the passions, in the appetites, you're going to find yourself out of the church pretty quickly. That interior conversion, which does, once again, it does touch the passions, but it needs to go to the intellect. And that's where apologetics comes in. Once the heart is tugged, once the emotions are tugged, and you're seeing, yes, I need to come back to Jesus, come back to church. Your emotions and your passions are being triggered. If you don't form the intellect with knowing Jesus, knowing what the church teaches, knowing what you believe and why you believe it, you'll be right out the door in 6 months or 3 months or even less, because the intellect must be engaged in Christianity, or it becomes basically just an exercise, and it's just an exercise in futility.
Jesse, before you do the reading too, there's a young man, William, you know him, you've been on his little internet show. He's 14 years old and he's into apologetics. It reminds me of myself 50 years ago when I was 14 and I started getting into reasons for my faith and apologetics. We're going to interview him on Friday with Father Charles Murr, and we're going to let him tell his story of how he's got young people around the world studying their Catholic faith. It's so inspirational. Brother Jess, what's the gospel for today, brother?
Matthew chapter 23:27, speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Yep.
Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the context. He's going to be talking against the deep state.
Yep.
Ah, yeah, there's a deep state even back in New Testament Israel. Right. Jesus is going to denounce here the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, by the way. That was the deep state at the time of Christ. This was the establishment that was trying to undermine the lawful authority of the Son of God. That's the context to today's reading. Here it goes. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Once again, this doesn't mean he's riding a horse and he's falling off. This is a covenant curse in Hebrew. And it says, "You hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth." So what is our Lord saying? This is something that Catholic progressives don't understand. Catholic progressives, even in leadership, they're more concerned with the external, with the environment, with the ocean, with washing your hands. They're more concerned with the externals than they are with the interior of the soul, the salvation of the soul. Many of these Catholic progressives have completely forgot about the mission of the Catholic Church, and they're so busy with the environment and recycling and all kinds of other things. Goes on to say, "Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Strong words, Jesse.
So the establishment at the time of Christ is saying,
yeah,
you know what? We wouldn't have killed the prophets in the Old Testament. You know, we would have been right with them and stuff. You know, that we wouldn't have participated in the bad actions of the Israelites back in the Old Testament against Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, the other prophets. Our Lord is essentially, I mean, he uses a strong word, Terry. He called them whitewashed tombs, okay? Now, the Jews had this teaching from the book of Numbers about contact with the dead. And Jews would be temporarily unclean if you made contact with the dead. So it was customary to what they would call whitewash grave sites to make them visible and help prevent inadvertent contact when you're walking through the cemetery. And according to our Lord Jesus Christ, this practice illustrates how the visible piety of many Pharisees only disguises their interior corruption and hypocrisy. In other words, Terry, he was talking to the Theodore McCarricks,
yep,
the Bernardines, the Mahonies of his day.
Yep, that's where it is. Jesse, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now. With a choo-choo, with a locomotive, you know, Fulton,
yep,
J. Sheen.
The real thing.
The real one. And I have to say that Bishop Strickland's been tweeting every day quotes from Fulton Sheen. Does that tell you anything about Bishop Strickland? Yeah. He said this. He quoted Sheen saying, threading his quotable Sheen, "Simple words from Fulton Sheen. Right is still right if nobody is right, and wrong is still wrong if everybody is wrong." And Bishop Strickland made the comment, "It reminds me of St. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. You must never grow weary of doing what is right, brothers. Let us always seek to do the right thing." And the right thing right now that we're dealing with is we're 75 days away from a major election, and we've got to do the right thing and vote for our moral conscience and for our unborn babies. As a matter of fact, Jesse, that just sets me right up. Before I do that, I want to say that this letter that Father Frank Pavone wrote to the United States Catholic hierarchy deals with a lot of that, and we're going to get into that. But I forgot to mention one more event that's coming at the Sacred Heart Chapel. 3 evenings of days of recollection on the work of the Holy Angels, preached by Father Wolfgang, will have adoration, mass, rosary, and it starts September 14th, 15th, and 16th here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. We'll be doing it outdoors, and it starts at 5:30 with confessions going on, holy mass, conferences. So just look on our website. It's all there. And also, Jesse, I want to remind people that those of you who are monthly donors, you're getting all kinds of catechetical teachings, apologetics mailed to you through a download through MP3s. So when you give us $25 a month, you're getting hundreds of dollars worth of material from the company I started, St. Joseph Communications, and that's going to help you form your moral conscience. It'll help you make big decisions in life, and it'll help you fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. People like Scott Hahn, Jess Romero, Tim Staples, Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Bill Casey, the list goes on. But I want you to understand that by your monthly bill, monthly donation, that's helping us pay the monthly bills for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And in return, it's our way of saying thank you by giving you access to some of the greatest evangelists in the church today. And now,
Terry, let me mention something so people don't get confused.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Don't give money to St. Joseph's Communications. It's no longer under the auspices of Terry Barber.
Right.
It's been sold, okay?
Right.
So don't think that, oh, I'm going to support St. No, don't. Terry no longer. Support Virgin
That's
Most
right.
Powerful
That's
Radio.
Right.
If you like what you're doing, don't give the money to St. Joseph's Communications.
Exactly.
We're no longer connected with them.
No.
We are now Virgin Most Powerful Radio, if you like what you're doing.
Yeah, we have all the accessible recordings from St. Joseph Communications in lieu of supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess, when we come back, let's get into this open letter to the United States Catholic hierarchy from Father
Frank. I'm also going to mention
Frank
a little bit about the gathering I had with Mormons.
Oh, yesterday. Let's do that, and then we'll get into the letter,
take a
Jess.
Minute.
Yeah. All right, folks, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense. And, folks, common sense ain't that common. We'll be back with much more to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com. and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Terry and Jesse Show is righteous, respectful, and rejuvenating.
Amen.
I was invited locally here in Phoenix. In fact, got another speaking engagement on Thursday. I was invited by several congregations of, they call them wards, or parishes are called wards. Like about 10 wards got together and invited me with all the influential leaders of the Mormon denomination out here in Phoenix, in the Phoenix Valley, to speak to them yesterday about why we need to vote for Donald Trump. Because again, just like every other religion out there, every Protestant denomination, even in the Catholic Church, the one true church, there are dissenters. There are people that are low information. So they wanted me to basically give them some high information. Catholicism, I guess one of the Mormon church members or leaders bought my book, A Catholic Vote for Trump. And they said, we got to get this guy into the Mormon church and start really sharing with us how, why it's important to reelect Donald Trump. Here's what's kind of interesting. After I was done with the I just gave him some, what I saw, so I gave him some power preaching with devil destroying theology. It was funny, Terry. Yeah. At the end, a bunch of the men were coming up to me. Hey, Jesse, what would it take you to become a Mormon? Hey, dude, you'd be perfect in our ward, man. You'd be perfect. We've never heard anybody like you. They were so sincere. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, they were so sincere because they heard somebody who was well-formed in biblical theology and well-formed in politics and culture, and I gave them, like, red meat, and they were just laughing. You know, I was being like I said, okay, here's some more red meat, and they were just roaring. They were just eating it up, and I gave them stuff that I basically say on radio all the time, Terry. I gave them basic stuff like there's negotiable issues, there's non-negotiable issues. Right. These Mormons understood that. I said, the non-negotiable issues are the life issues. Sure. And they're all like, yeah, yeah. The non-negotiable issues are the marriage issues. I also went through the party platform of both parties, and it was eye-opening to them that I actually read the party platform. I was giving them page numbers. And I said, the Republicans mentioned God as the noun 15 times. The Democrats mentioned God as an adjective 3 times in the party platform. I also did quote it from my book, The Comparison, where Father Pavone compares what we have right now with President Trump versus what we will have if Biden or Hillary Clinton or somebody else, you know, liberty versus socialism, anarchy versus order. Mm-hmm. They just ate that up. I also talked to them about, look at the enemies of President Trump. They got that. They're like, yeah, Satan is hate him, witches hate him. I also mentioned the importance of religious liberty. I said, hey, you Mormons, Catholics, Protestants and stuff, if we lose, I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Mm-hmm. I said, we're going to become another Venezuela. We're going to become Bolivia. We're going to become Cuba. I said, we're going to have a permanent mask in our mouth for the next 4 years. And I also talked to them, Terry, this is eye-popping, and I share it all the time on our show, mm-hmm. that I've looked at the Detroit Church of Satan, their policy platforms, and they are completely parallel to the Democrat Party platform. Terry, these guys, they just stood up and gave me a standing ovation. I was there for about 30 minutes to an hour after. They're asking me, what would it take for you to come into the Mormon church? Again, they were just so sincere, but they were just so hungry to hear clarity.
Of course.
And they got it, Terry. Yeah. They got it.
Jess, I'm proud of that you did this. I've seen you do it at Protestant churches, like on wakes where you're talking about divine mercy. And people are open to the truth, whether they're Mormons or are Protestants.
Yeah.
The truth is what sets people free. And
there's a lot of this truth that we share because it's natural law.
Of course.
And then it's divine, it's scripture. And it was funny, these Mormons were saying, I've never seen a Catholic like you quote the Bible.
Ah!
So it was a good time.
All right, brother. Time. Well, that's fantastic. I'll just be real brief and say that the same time Jess was doing that, I had a couple hours with a set of Acontists, which means like they don't believe that the Pope is the Pope anymore. So I was trying to bring back a fallen away Catholic. And unfortunately, Jess, I wasn't successful. But, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I gave him about 6 or 7 good questions to think about, and he doesn't believe anymore. And so he's lost the supernatural aspect of our Catholic faith, and we just pray for people like that. But scandal has really ruined the church, Jesse. I'm just being honest with you. If the scandals weren't out, I think a lot more people would be in church because they look at the scandal and they say, what? I don't believe that. See, so this is why holiness is so attractive, yeah. Jess.
Yes.
When they saw that you believed in the Bible, they saw that you have principles, they saw that you're living, you're walking the talk. That's what we need more of. So, okay, I said it. Jess,
let me just mention one thing, just a definition. People are saying, Sedevacantus, what? Sedevacantus means the sea is vacant.
Right.
It's the Latin.
Right.
The sea, yeah, the sea is vacant, which essentially it means that these are Catholic, these were once Catholics in union with the church that have now basically left the church, because when you leave Peter, you leave the church.
That's right.
And they say that there hasn't been a pope since Pope John the 23rd, or actually since Pope Pius
the 12th. Yeah, exactly.
They reject Pope John the 23rd as well.
That's right, Jess.
And they say that the papacy has been vacant since 1958 after the death of Pope Pius the 12th. Mm-hmm. So the essential argument is, according to them, the gates of hell has prevailed against the church.
Exactly.
It has. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the Sedevacantist position is that they have nobody to speak for them.
Right.
They don't have a reliable spokesman because nobody has the authority to make that declaration. And it reminds me, Terry, about the confusion in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, mm-hmm. where it says about all the Israelites, it says, And all the Israelites, everybody basically, did what they thought was the right thing to do. In other words, there's such confusion at a given point in time in Israel that everybody thought they did what was right in their own eyes. That's the essential problem with that position, Terry.
Absolutely. And what I told this young man, I said again, go back to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church, and Jesus did not lie when he said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I said, you can't make Jesus a liar, because what you're doing is you're saying he didn't mean that. And so pray for those people. We pray for all people to come back home.
Yeah.
Jesse, there's so many fallen away Catholics. You know that for every fallen away Catholic, I think it's out of six that are fallen away, one comes back. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. But Jess, let's get back to our open letter to the United States Catholic Hierarchy from Father Frank Pavone. It was written June 25th, 2020. Let's have you start the letter off, Jess, and
we'll take two paragraphs, and then we'll just comment.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the bravest Catholic priests in the country, Terry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He writes, he's the National Director of Priests for Life, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He writes to our bishops, to the authority of the church. He says, Your Eminences and Excellencies, as the bishops and cardinals, with deep respect and with equally deep urgency, I write to extend to you, individually and collectively, an invitation to engage in a public dialogue regarding some specific aspects of the involvement of Christ's faithful in the elections of 2020, now underway in the United States. In the context of this invitation, and consistent with Canon 213, which says that we can ask our sacred pastors questions, I also would like to point out a persistent problem in this regard that is hindering the common good and the rights of the church. Specifically, I refer to the repeated guidance issued from dioceses, Catholic conferences, and the USCCB that restrict the speech of clerics and lay faithful in ways that not only exceed any restriction found in canon law and civil law, but that are impossible to fulfill because of their broad reach and vagueness. As a result, rather than fostering unity amongst the people of God in the pursuit of the mission they eagerly engage by virtue of their baptism and confirmation, this guidance discourages and frustrates them and hinders that mission. Let me make a comment there. I'll throw it to Terry.
That's a great, yep, go ahead.
Much of our Catholic clergy, Terry, they've been shut down. They're afraid because of what's called the Johnson Amendment that was inserted into the tax code. I think it was back in the 60s.
54, Jesse. 1954.
Okay. So what happened is the Johnson Amendment that was inserted by the Democrats into the IRS tax bill, it basically said nonprofits can't be engaged in political speech.
Yep.
So much of our clergy, Terry, they're petrified. They're like, oh, no.
We don't want
to lose our IRS. But I'll tell you, Protestant Democrat congregations, they're not afraid of the Johnson Amendment. They've been preaching politics for 40, 50 years from their pulpits. You got people like Jesse Jackson, L. Sharpton, Father James Martin, and the Jesuit homosexualist. They preach politics from the pulpit all the time. It's only people that have orthodox leanings that seem to say, we can't violate the Johnson Amendment. But here's the good news, Terry, is that President Trump has promised that he will not enforce the Johnson Amendment under his Department of Justice.
Yep.
And so I don't know why Catholics are so afraid. We should be speaking out, just like leftist congregations speak out as well. Terry?
Jesse, I know we're not going to get to the whole letter, but since you brought up what President Trump did, this was on May 4th. It's right in the letter from Father Frank Pavone. He says, what makes this all more ironic is that we're now living in a climate where the federal government is not only defending our right to speak and teach freely on moral dimensions of politics, but urging us to do that. President Trump on May 4th issued an executive order protecting our religious freedom. He said, are you ready for this? Can you imagine if President Obama would have said this? No way. President Trump says, I want to hear from you. And so do a lot of other people. So you're now in a position where you can say what you want to say. And I know you're only say good and you'll say what is in your heart. And that's what we want from you. The executive order directs the IRS not to unfairly target churches and religious organizations for political speech. In America, we do not fear people speaking freely from the pulpit. President Trump says we embrace it. He says, under my administration, free speech does not end at the steps of a cathedral or a synagogue or any other house of worship. Jesse, I just want to remind you, when we were fighting for pro-life years ago, we wanted to put flyers in the parish parking lot on the cars, giving people the information on what candidates are pro-life, which ones are pro-death. And our pastor said, oh, no, you can't do that because now you're crossing over the line. We can't speak on that. And that's the kind of stuff that President Trump says, no, we want you guys to speak like that. So I'll get back to the little letter, but Jess, he says, moreover, this guidance fails to take into account the unique circumstances in the current political landscape of the United States and the moral response these circumstances require. He's going to go on and basically call to order our bishops and us too to stand up for life. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got Father Frank Pavone's open letter to the Catholic hierarchy, and we're going to read more of it that should inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his church. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Join VMPR live on YouTube September 12, 2020, for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith,
Plus, never-before-broadcast video presentations from Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, and the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel. Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse, we always say we're too blessed to be stressed, we're too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be a billionaire. We have our good friend Dr. Louis Sandoval, who has his own show on Virgin Most Powerful regarding mental illness, depression, anxiety, and diabolical addictions. So, Dr. Sandoval, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, I wanted to have you on for two fronts. One, I understand that you are in a position to give us some updates on the COVID-19 because of your work as a doctor in Orange County. And then the second question, after we get that handled, I want to talk a little bit about your new show on Virgin Most Powerful. So for those who would like to get a little update, give us your background with how you're working with the COVID-19 issue, doctor.
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's such a hot topic right now, and everybody's concerned, and there's so many changes. Right now, I am on what we call the crisis triage team for our organization, which means that I'm one of the doctors in charge of figuring out if we ever do get to crisis levels of people being infected and needing medical help, how are we going to help them out? How are we going to distribute care?
Sure.
And how are we going to make sure that we do it equitably? So we are always checking the numbers and seeing what's going on. And what I want to reassure viewers about is that even though we have this team and we're prepping it and getting it ready for any kind of crisis emergency, right now we're hoping we never need to use it, and it's looking that way.
Good.
Our numbers are looking great. The cases are going down.
Great.
And, of course, we should always be prepared for any crisis.
Sure.
But right now, everything's improving. I always tell people, you know, continue to keep the good hygiene, and we should be doing that anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, continue to keep wearing your mask as required by the state and whatnot.
Yep.
You know, we'll keep doing our part in doing that. But, you know, to ease fears of people, the numbers are looking great. They're going down. The death rates are going down. And so
excellent.
I would tell people, just keep doing what you're doing. I always encourage my patients to get out of the house as much as possible, wear your mask. But if you need to go to the store, you know, wash your hands, get some fresh air, do something, because you want to keep as much sense of normalcy in spite of everything that's going on.
Well said. Doc,
let me ask you a question. What about, I know in Southern California, there's a lot of people that live in the street. There's a sizable homeless population.
Big time.
Have you guys found, is that kind of a melting pot, or is that kind of a petri dish for more cases of COVID-19? Or are they basically, you know, is COVID-19... the cases found amongst the homeless, is it pretty much the same as the general population that's locked up at home and washing their hands and wearing a mask?
Yeah, great question, Jesse. For now, we've seen pretty much the same. I mean, we haven't seen any big distinguishing features. You notice if there were something, you would look on the news and they would tell you, oh, geez, we're going to reach out to the homeless population. We're going to make sure that we address them, and we're going to ask them for donations for masks or anything for this population that might not have the same resources as anyone else. But you're not hearing any of that because we're not seeing much of a difference. It's an interesting question you posed there, Jesse.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because you would think, because a lot of them don't wash their hands, a lot of them are using the toilet, number one and two, in public, a lot of them don't have access to showers every day, they're not social distancing, they're right next to each other, so I'm just wondering, I would think that there would be an explosion of COVID-19 amongst the homeless population, but we don't see that, so I just scratch my head and just wonder, interesting, you have a segment that's at home, locked down, washing our hands, putting on masks, social distancing. Another wing of the population, even rioters, They're not doing any of that. And so I was just wondering, you as a doctor, if you guys are seeing more cases of COVID-19 amongst anarchists and rioters and homeless people, or is it pretty much the same all across the boards?
You know, that's a great point, too, because one of the other things to consider is that there are a lot of what we call asymptomatic cases. So somebody might be carrying the virus and might never know it. They might never end up with symptoms or anything along those lines that would even prompt them to get tested.
Right.
So that could be, you know, what's happening. They could be in the population and they just don't come to our clinics. So that's another thing to consider. But what I will say is this, we're not hearing of any increased death rates among the homeless population. We're not necessarily hearing about people on the streets being found dead because of this. And, you know, our treatment in the hospitals and whatnot has not been reaching surge levels. So we're very lucky right now.
Yes.
It's an interesting point you make where when people are really worried about this, this is why I always tell people, just keep good hygiene, you know, follow the recommendations for the mask. But don't be afraid if you need to go to the store. Don't be afraid if you need to go even to your doctor's clinic. You know, honestly speaking, at the clinic, I know a lot of people are afraid of even going and they're not getting their heart check or their diabetes check and things like that. And what I let these people know is, you know, at our medical clinics everywhere, we're probably cleaner than some of the retail stores because we're actually checking temperatures and cleaning things regularly for people when they need to come in. So keep that in mind, too. If you're, you know, I always like to tell the general population, don't forget that there's other diseases out there and don't stop to get treated for that because you might beat COVID, but I don't want you to die of something else.
Hey, man, Dr. Sandoval, you've done a whole show. I was with you on how to handle emotionally, spiritually, you know, even even your mental approach to dealing with COVID-19. And people can get that show by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio under the Dr. Sandoval Show as a podcast. But I want to give you an opportunity because a lot of people are listening have never heard you before. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing with the new show that you started on Virgin Most Powerful Radio?
Oh, that's such a great show, and I thank you guys for the opportunity to even speak out there, and I hope that it's helpful to people. You know, it's on Thursdays from 11 to noon. Right now we're pre-taping them and making sure that we reach out different topics. I always encourage our listeners that if they have any questions on mental health, to go ahead and email us or call in and just let us know what topics might be of interest to you. I'm putting out different topics that I hear about in the clinic or that people ask me about in particular, because the most important thing with mental health is that we can't separate it from our spiritual health. The most, you know, we're healthiest when we're spiritually healthy, more than even physically healthy. I've seen some very, very sick patients in the hospital, but boy, their faith in God is strong and they keep their spiritual health up and they seem to do much better than patients who don't have that level of faith. It's the same thing in the mental health world. When we can blend the mental health and the spiritual health together and recognize what's coming from us, what's coming from potentially spiritual influence, be it demonic, or we cannot forget the influence of grace. A lot of times we think, oh, geez, how do we account for demonic activity? And a lot of times I'll ask my patients, well, how do you account for grace? We forget to look at that. And hopefully we can talk about that in our show and look at the positive side of life and really get closer to Christ.
Dr. Sandoval, go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, let me ask a
follow up.
Dr. Sandoval, it's kind of off the plumb line here, but it's just something that's in my head that I've been wanting to ask you.
Sure.
Can you define DID for us, DID, and how is DID separate from a person who's diabolically possessed? Because sometimes they manifest the same symptoms, DID and possession. So what is DID?
Yeah, we don't know what that is. What is
it? And why is it that they don't need an exorcist, they need a mental health expert?
That's a great question, Justin. It's a hot topic even within the psychiatric world. DID is also called dissociative identity disorder. And usually this happens when somebody experiences some kind of a trauma. Unfortunately, if somebody's had an abuse-type situation or has been in a situation where they see potentially death in front of them, what tends to happen is we say that the mind can dissociate from the body. So you hear a lot of people who say, yes, unfortunately I was abused or something, but at that time it was kind of like my mind floated away and I could see it happening outside my body. Mm. When that happens to people as a result of the trauma, sometimes the mind really needs to cope in different ways, and then people will say that they develop different personalities. Depending on who you ask, somebody might have, you know, some of the psychiatrists might say it's a different personality, or it's a different zone or dimension that the mind goes into in order to not have to face the traumatic event, because sometimes it's just too much for the mind. When that's the case, you really need to get into therapy. Somebody who understands dissociative identity disorder, somebody who understands that you got to process what happened to you, shall we say, in different little chunks and not all at once. Exposure therapy, just kind of taking baby steps to address what happened. This is different from demonic possession, but it can be easily confused because if the mind goes into a different state, it seems like you're talking to a different person at that time. Mm-hmm. And in diabolic possession, then you worry because you're talking to the person and all of a sudden a demon will come out. And so now you have two different entities. In DID, it's the same person, just that the mind goes into different zones. In possession, then you're talking about two different entities. And that's why it can be so confusing. But that's why with DID, you're dealing with a person, you want to go to therapy. With possession, obviously, you want to talk to a priest or an exorcist.
Wow. Awesome.
Deep stuff. See, this is the type of intel you're going to get when you listen to the Dr.
Exactly.
Louis Sandoval show. I mean, this is high-level stuff here. My mind is popping right now. The positive and negative jumper cables just touched each other. That's what's happening in my mind when I hear this guy speak. Yeah. Gary?
Dr. Lewis, I want to also mention that people on the radio right now that are listening don't have our app. You can always go and get our app by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and downloading the app on your smartphone, and then you can start listening to all the podcasts. But this is high information, especially think about this, everyone. You go to a psychiatrist, you're going to spend hundreds of dollars to go there. Dr. Louis Sandoval is actually giving principles that he works every day with patients on, and he has a good Catholic mindset and also understands spiritual warfare. I really would recommend anyone to listen to his shows by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or downloading the Virgin Most Powerful Radio app or going on YouTube on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio YouTube channel. Dr. Lewis, your final thoughts about your show?
My final thoughts are always that, you know, obviously when you listen to these shows, mm-hmm. you know, we can't necessarily cover every topic, and this is why I encourage our listeners to talk to their family members, to encourage their family members and friends to listen to see if they have topics that they're interested in. But always we're going to do it with clarity and charity,
Amen.
Just like the Jesse and Terry show. You know, mental health can be a very sensitive topic. So a lot of people sometimes will say, well, Dr. Sandoval, why aren't you more jovial or joking? Because I'm sensitive and I realize that there's a lot of stigma out there.
Absolutely.
And so we kind of take a little bit of a serious tone because we want to make sure that you feel important and you know that you're loved by Christ.
Well said. Amen. Dr. Sandoval, I love listening to your show. As a matter of fact, I know we pre-record it and I'm usually there listening, so I'm looking forward to doing that again. And I just want to thank you for your time because you volunteer to help us here at Virgin Most Powerful spread the gospel for years, and we're just honored to have you as part of, well, I call it Team Jesus here.
That's right.
At the Virgin Most Powerful Radio. So God bless you and your family, Dr. Sandoval.
Thank you, guys. We'll be in touch.
You got it.
You got it, buddy.
Jesse, up next, Father Frank Pavone's letter. Let's get right back to that. An open letter to the United States Catholic hierarchy here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And again, I'm blessed, Jess, just to be here with you and our listeners. We'll be right back.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. The Terry and Jesse Show, speaking the truth in charity. And Amen. You want to continue to talk with Father Pavone's letter?
Yep.
This is to me the Paul Revere of the Catholic Church. He's the John the Baptist of the Catholic Church. He is the he's the guy that's on the Israelite wall with the bugle, the trumpet, sounding the alarm. Here's what he says in his letter. He says, right after what Terry just shared about the President Trump's speech, Father Pavone writes, This also relates to the rights of clerics to be politically involved. Canon 287.2 legitimately affirms of clerics, they are not to play an active role in political parties or in directing trade unions unless in the judgment of the competent ecclesiastical authority, this is required for the defense of the rights of the church or to promote the common good. So Father Pavone defends himself saying, while the first part of that canon is vigorously enforced, he's saying by you bishops, the second part requires due attention as well. The rights of the church and the common good are under attack in an unprecedented way by the Democrat Party. But again, after being told to defend those goods, we're left to fight with two hands behind our back and with a gag over our mouth bearing an episcopal seal.
Well, picture that, Jesse. What a graphic.
In other words, yeah, he's just basically saying, yeah, you guys want us to fight, but you don't let us fight. In other words, you're saying, yeah, go into the boxing ring, but tie your arms behind your back.
Yeah.
So he says, now he's talking to the bishops. These are the successors of the apostles.
That's right.
But he's writing with respectfully.
Respect.
He says, in calling for more open and respectful dialogue to the bishops, I speak for many priests and lay faithful with whom I have worked side by side for decades in the fight for life and religious freedom, and whose commitment to these causes has all too often been met with criticism rather than appreciation by the pastors of the church. Indeed, even attempts to address the matter, like I'm doing in this letter, are often met with unwarranted disciplinary action that appears to be motivated not by a concern for the good of the church, but by the very types of partisan political agendas that clerics are warned not to pursue. So Father's saying, look it, when we do try to get involved and teach the people the moral teachings of the church, he's saying there's repercussions from a lot of you bishops. We're paying the price for a lot of us priests. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, like, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. Go out there and evangelize and help the people know their faith. And then when we do so, and you guys believe that, in other words, Father said, you can't separate, Terry, church and state. That's the fallacy. That's what the whole letter's arguing here.
It is.
Is they want this because this is a Masonic idea. It's not a Catholic idea. And this is why it's so hard for good Catholic priests like Father Pavone to walk that tightrope, because even George Washington, a Protestant president, he says, America, the two pillars of America, he says, are religion and morality. And so you, religion and morality spills into the life of America, into our politics, into law, into court decisions. And so when you're starting to talk about morality, people say, time out, you can't talk about that. Wait a minute. It's that political parties are using morality and making it immoral. And let's not forget that the church, not the government, is the voice of Christ on earth.
Jesse, one of the most powerful paragraphs in this letter is where he says, when Republican Party stands firmly for the principle that government cannot authorize the killing of babies, and the Democrat Party firmly rejects that principle by embracing unrestricted abortion, he says, how is it possible for the church to proclaim its teaching without discrediting implicitly or explicitly the political party that so obviously opposes that teaching? And he points something out a saint said. He says, as you well know, St. John Paul II called governments that legalize abortion, are you ready, everybody? A tyrant state. Jess.
Is this microphone on?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat that. St. John Paul II called governments, right? So governments that legalize abortion, a tyrant state. That's pretty discrediting. So I think we need to really think about this. Father Frank says, never has the voice of the church been more needed. Everything we stand for, have fought for, is on the line. Well said, Father. Be assured, the voice of the church will be heard because, as you know, as you teach, the church is more than the hierarchy. Yes, it is. We're the lay guys, and we're speaking. We know what is right. We know what the church teaches, and we know how to win elections. I'm speaking for myself. Yes, we just would rather not feel like we're fighting without our leaders. Boy, Jesse, so many times I feel like that. Or worse, having our leaders fight against us. Jess, I feel his pain. I've been there. I've done that. Where I'm like,
Terry,
wait a minute.
You've been dealing with this for 50 since I've known you. You've been fighting on the side of truth and orthodoxy and the perennial teachings of the church.
Yeah, and I've been
even against your own leaders in the LA diocese.
Yes,
I've seen you. I've seen what you've gone through.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, the point of it is, Jess, Father Frank's point is the election is not business as usual. Therefore, I've written to you publicly, and many of the faithful, and I respectfully wait a response from you. That is likewise more than a business as usual. Sincerely, Father Frank Pavone. And I'm hoping he calls in to answer a question I have on, did he get a response?
Yeah, Terry, he also writes, I speak also on behalf of my brothers and sisters in other Christian denominations who are strong allies in the fight for family, for life, family, and freedom. That's why I spoke at a Mormon congregation yesterday.
Sure.
Unfortunately, well, they, and by the way, the Mormons said they're gonna take me from one ward to another yesterday. they're passing my name out through all the Mormons in Arizona, so I'll be jumping from one Mormon congregation to another. So Father Pavone writes, unfortunately, while they have courageously defended the freedom of churches to preach the gospel and to pass moral judgments, even in matters relating to politics, they have found much of the response from the Catholic religious leaders to be disheartening. Father writes, your eminences and excellencies, as I said at the outset, I write with deep respect. I'm a son of the church.
Amen.
And have always defended her legitimate authority and prayed for her daily for her leaders. But this is an appeal to engage in a dialogue that the circumstances of the moment call for most urgently. The approximately 100,000 political races that comprise the 2020 elections bring us to an unprecedented choice in America. Never has the political divide been more substantial or more consequential. And Terry, amen to what Father is saying right now. And he even said, he quoted earlier on in the document Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 76. He says this, he's quoting a Vatican II document. He says, at all times and in all places, the church should have the true freedom to teach the faith.
Amen.
To proclaim its teachings about society. To carry out its task among men without hindrance and to pass moral judgments, even in matters relating to politics. Here it is. whenever the fundamental rights of man or the salvation of souls requires it.
Like
close
now.
Quote.
Like now.
He's like, oh, there. Yeah, right now, Terry. Yeah. Right now. Yep.
Okay, hey, we got Father Frank Pavone, Mr. Engineer. I know he was trying to call through.
I am here with you great apostles of the Lord.
Father Frank, first of all, why did you write, we only have a couple of minutes, but why did you write this letter, this open letter to our hierarchy? I'm all ears.
Because, you know, a lot of people are saying this is the most important election in our history, and it is. But it's also the most different election, and by different, I mean, look, we're no longer talking about two parties that have different ideas of how to get to the same goal.
Right.
We're talking about two different goals.
Amen.
And one of those goals is completely antithetical to the church. So for the church to sit back and pretend that we can be neutral anymore,
yeah,
simply, to my mind, doesn't work this time around.
Well said. Jesse?
Yeah, Father, again, as we seem to forget, and this letter reminds us that you wrote,
yep,
is that the Catholic Church is a supernatural entity. The government is a natural entity. And so when it comes to faith and morals and especially the life issues, the Catholic Church must speak out thunderously like you are.
Yep.
You're one of those voices in the wilderness, but you're speaking out thunderously. And we just call all the successors of the apostles to come alongside Father Pavone and the rest of us lay people and speak out with the sense of urgency because, yes, 3,300 of our little brothers and sisters, right, God's children, are being butchered in the factories, in the abortion mills of America today, and this must stop. Planned Parenthood and their affiliates are the most racist,
that's
institution,
right,
since the Ku Klux Klan.
Father Frank, I just want to give everybody an opportunity to support you, not just with prayers, but financial support. How can people do that?
ProLifeGift.org is our donation website. Thank you for saying that.
My pleasure.
And everybody, just, you know, watch the conventions tonight and
yes,
tomorrow night, too. That'll inspire you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, on pro-life, but on every other issue, you're going to see the church's teaching being put into practice by this administration and this party. So watch the conventions, support us at ProLifeGift.org, and get involved in this election.
Father Frank, last thing, I'm going to embarrass you, but I might embarrass myself. Father, how many bishops have responded to your letter?
Zero.
I kind of thought that. I mean it.
Yeah.
Well, we need to just keep fighting the fight as being faithful in our duties and our state in life. Father Frank, how about a priestly blessing before we let you get back to your work for all
of
our listeners?
May the Lord send his spirit upon each one of you and make you effective apostles of life. And may he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Father Frank, I'm going to ask you one last question. What state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
Amen. He got it right. Father Frank Pavone, priest for life, thanks again for writing that open letter. And may God richly bless your work. And we're right behind you. And thanks again for leading the charge. God love you.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless.
Jesse, I don't know about you, but every time I talk to Father Frank, it fires me up to fall deeper in love with Jesus. That's what it does.
Why, Terry? Because, Terry, even saints like Mother Teresa and St. John Paul II have said about this priest that we're just on that he's doing the most important work
in the church today.
These are saints that have said this about Father Pavone, which I know what's in his future, Terry.
Oh yeah, no, he's being martyred. I mean, let's just face it.
He's
anybody,
being martyred.
It is.
Yeah,
and I thank him for his
but
witness.
Terry, he's a lot closer to the ST before his name than most of us.
Did you know, Father Frank? Yeah,
exactly.
We did. Hey, may God bless you. Thanks for supporting us. We're just two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense. And common sense ain't that common. God bless you and full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.